Mom, Dad, I just have to say, it breaks my heart watching you stress over dinner every night. This year, I don't want you doing the fridge stare down. Hot take, with the new Blue Apron, eating healthy is easy. They've got pre-made and one-pan meals with plenty of balanced nutrition. No subscription needed. You could be plating like a chef instead of negotiating with leftovers. Make it your healthy, tasty, and easy 2026 dinner resolution. Just saying.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
One of the best food scenes in the country, right here in Minnesota. And nobody knows it like Magazine food critic and James Beard Award finalist Jason DeRusha. Now bringing you the most interesting people and hottest trends. Let's listen in as DeRusha eats.
Is there anything Nate Burleson cannot do? Former Minnesota Viking, incredible broadcaster, is the host of CBS This Morning, the NFL Today. He hosts a game show, the Hollywood Squares. And now he's coming to Minnesota. He'll be in Minneapolis on Saturday, part of the launch of his new vodka from Valentine Distillery, which is in Detroit. The vodka is Lion's Blood Orange. And Nate Burleson joins us on DeRusha Eats. I'm so glad to talk to you, Nate.
I am a huge fan of the distillery that you teamed up with. They're Mayor
Pingree.
Really? Yeah, Mayor Pingree is one of my favorite whiskeys. I think they just do terrific work. And your vodka is delicious. I tasted
Thank
it
you.
Last night. It's really nice.
Thank you.
So many celebrities kind of get in the spirit game now.
Yeah.
What motivated you to want to do something special and do it in Detroit?
All right. So I'm originally from Seattle. When I was playing and living in Seattle at the time, when I would go to the liquor store, I was always trying to support local brands. And there was a Jimi Hendrix vodka. Jimi Hendrix spent some time in Seattle. And I was fascinated by how it looked aesthetically. It was beautiful. It had the purple hints and tones to it with Jimmy and this guitar. And it tasted so good. But then when I would travel, I would never see it on the shelves. This was when I was in the beginning stages of doing my own research about regional and local spirits. So I figured out that Jimi Hendrix Estate released this only in Washington. And even though the estate, one side of the estate, got into it with the other side and they had actually pulled it off the shelves, I realized how successful a local brand can be. Because even though when I traveled outside of Washington, I didn't see it, but when I went to clubs and bars and people's homes, they always had it on the shelves. So when I played for the Detroit Lions, I wanted to do it. I was like, all right, I want to launch a liquor brand here in Michigan. I love Michigan. It was like my final years in the NFL. And I started to apply for this process with a few different people. And one guy saw me and he probably saw Mark. He's like, I'm going to upcharge whatever it costs to start a brand. And I'm going to tell Nate it's going to cost him $400,000-$500,000. And then I went to my people, started talking to people in the space. They're like, no, that guy's going to rip you off. So that left a sour taste in my mouth. And then on the flip side, the NFL at that time, they didn't really like players starting brands, working with brands, unless it was directly through the brands that they were working with. You're picking up what I'm putting down, right?
Yeah.
Unless
it was different.
That.
They didn't want you doing your own. They didn't want to be your own brand. They didn't want to have an argument with one of their sponsors or partners.
Exactly. So I left, retired. It just was one of those things that irked me. You know, I'm a casual drinker and I see all these brands popping up every once in a while. I said, you know what, Nate, stop having this regret. You know what? Start to explore it again in Michigan. Screw it. At the very least, you'll enjoy the process. So I reached out to a few different brands, distilleries, and companies. And Valentine, they were the only ones to hit me back that saw the vision. And then when I met with Rufino in person, he was checking my pulse, to be honest with you. He's like, what are you in it for? Why are you here? Why do you want to do this? What do you know about this space? Do you understand it's competitive? What are you going to bring to the table outside of some name that used to play here? And I answered all those questions confidently. And he realized at that moment that he had a partner. And then we just got to know each other. And it took us about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, of figuring out what we wanted to look like, taste like, smell like. I flew out there 5 or 6 times to just sample the earlier batches.
That many times.
Yeah. Yeah, and I didn't double dip. It wasn't like I was going out there to go see a Lions game or to go visit friends or party and like, oh, let me just pop by. No, I went in there specifically to meet with him and didn't tell anybody else that I was coming in town. And that's because I sincerely wanted him to know that I'm in it for the right reasons. The story of how we got here, it really makes me proud that I'm in it for the right reasons. And of course, we're going to build Inside Out. If it's very successful, we'll continue to make it in Michigan and provide jobs in Michigan. But then if there's opportunities outside of Michigan, Minnesota, and Chicago, and we're in the, we work Midwest to the rest of the nation, we'll do it. But right now, we want to keep it regional.
Yeah, Nate Burleson is with us, coming to Minnesota this weekend to sample his new vodka. He'll be at Certix on Saturday in the afternoon, and then a little later at Haskell's in White Bear Lake. Two great, great family-owned liquor stores, too. I love that, like, you're really just, this is a smaller operation. You could have gone with a giant company. You could have licensed your name. You could have done that. I just have such respect the fact that you really went through the tasting process. Tell me how you landed on Blood Orange, because that's the dominant.
It's a play on words. I am a Leo. You know, I look at myself as a lion, and I've kind of like walked with this tagline of conquer your jungle in any space that you're in, not just an athlete. You know, you can work in media, you can be a politician, you can be a dancer, a rapper, a writer. Whatever profession it is, just chase your craft diligently and conquer your jungle. So I wanted to do something that played on the way I looked at the world. So Lion Blood, I had an old clothing line. It was called Lion Blood Clothing. I'm like, all right, I love citrus flavored vodkas, but I don't often see blood orange in many flavors that taste well. And I knew that blood orange is a unique fruit because it can be very sweet. It can be very tart. It can be sour. It can have a strong, sharp finish. It could also have a very light, sweet, delayed note at the end. If we landed on the perfect complexities of blood orange, adding in elderflower, making it with all natural ingredients, we can make something special.
And it is a, you know, you mentioned it's a little bit of a tricky flavor to work with. So it's not too like, so it's not too tart. It's not too overwhelming. And there's a balance. There's a little bit of sweetness that comes from an elderflower in here too, which I think is cool. What the tasting process, did you have to dial it up, dial it down to get it just right?
Yeah, very much so. Because the whole Valentine crew knew that I love citrus flavors and this was going to be something that I wanted to taste. The initial ones were heavy on the citrus, and I didn't want the citrus to overcomplicate what could be a smooth finish. I wanted it to be light enough to where you can drink it straight on the rocks, add a little bit of soda, but also heavy enough to where you can mix it and it still stands on its own with other mixers. But when I first got there, yeah, we went heavy on the citrus and immediately I tasted it. And it's funny, Rufino, my partner, he was in there the first couple of times that I flew into Detroit. And he's just looking at me as I'm sipping it. And I'm like, this ain't it. And he's like, I'm glad you said that, because that's how I feel. And then we tasted another one. And I'm like, this is good. Just not exactly where I wanted to be. This particular day, we had three different versions of it. And then he handed me number two, small little glass bottle. It said test number two on it. And as I'm taking a sip, he's staring at me. And I smelt it, of course, to get that profile of the nose and the notes. And then once I took a sip, I looked at him, he looked at me, and we both nodded our head, this is it. And then I was like, do you have ice in here? Because this is warm sitting on the shelf. Let me taste this on the rocks. And once I did that, I was set. Because to me, the mark of a good drink is that you can drink it alone by itself, sip slow, and it doesn't dissipate with the ice, or it doesn't lose its structure. You know, when you want to sip it alone, and also it doesn't burn your throat. Let's just keep it real.
Nate Burleson is with us. His new vodka is Valentine Lion Blood Orange, and he'll be in the Twin Cities this weekend sampling it, signing bottles, all of that. Obviously, you know, your time here in Minnesota as a member of the Minnesota Vikings, that makes sense that you'll come here and bring this. You're coming to town on our first preseason game.
Yeah.
I mean, I assume you're as curious as we are as to how the new sort of rookie quarterback is going to be.
Yeah, he definitely is a rookie. I was always taught until you play four games, you're going to be a rookie. I remember playing an entire season and they were like, no. You're still a rookie until you play four games into your sophomore season. I'm like, what kind of sense does that make? This was back when old school vets were really old school vets and Hazen was perfectly fine. But right. For him, he's going to have to get through this rookie year. I know on paper he's a sophomore, but this is going to be a big season for him. Listen, the division is absolutely loaded. The Lions, they are the king of the jungle right now. We know the Bears retooled. Caleb Williams is going to have to step up. Been hearing some mixed reviews on how he's doing in training camp. Of course, the Green Bay Packers with the healthy Jordan Love, like they're always comparable when it comes to competition. But the Vikings, J.J. McCarthy, J.J. Jefferson, Jay Jettas, he's going to have to be handcuffed to the hip of his wide receiver. Usually it's the wideout and tight end that are handcuffed to the veteran quarterback saying, hey, let's go out to dinner. What's your favorite pair of shoes I can buy you? Do you want me to send you on a vacation? Because I need 140 balls this year. But it's going to have to be J.J. McCarthy that is going to have to take out his tight end, take out his wide receiver, get to know them, stay after practice, watch film together, because life is going to come at you fast, young fella. And I hope he's successful. Listen, you don't move guys around. You don't get rid of individuals that had a successful season unless you are completely confident in your young QB. And then on the defense side of the ball, you know, they just have to win in the trenches. You know, I believe the division is based on being strong up front and then making the big plays in the air and minimizing those mistakes when you throw the ball.
Yeah, it's a, you know, I give the Vikings credit. I would have expected this maybe to be sort of like, all right, this is going to be a growing, building year with the rookie quarterback. But they made moves in the offseason that said, like, nope, we're going to win with this kid. So,
yeah, and that's it. And give O'Connell credit and his whole staff. Like, by the way, I know that there was a vote that they were one of the best staffs in the NFL. I think maybe even number one. He has put together a group of men that can not only challenge their players, but then also criticize when need be. You know, it's one thing to say, I need the best football out of you. But when are you going to have a coach that can grab you by your jersey when you are screwing up, look you in your eyes and say, I need you to be better? Because right now you are effing up. Like, yeah. I love that. And some people say, oh, I don't like my coach to be that brash. And I don't think that type of language is necessary in sports. It absolutely is. Listen, some guys can coach themselves. And the million-dollar price tags that they have over their heads is merely just a salary. They don't need any extra motivation. But then there's other guys that are immature young men. They're teenagers with money. And you have to coach guys differently. One thing I love about O'Connell is that he understands that. He treats everybody the same, but he understands he has to coach certain guys differently.
Father, or should I call you Steve? Since it's a new year, maybe we should start cooking fresh with fewer smoke alarms this time. Your cooking's improving, but I can see the stress in your eyes. Anna's mom used this Blue Apron Assemble and Bake thing during our playdate. Pre-chopped ingredients, over 40 grams of protein, and just one pan to clean up. She just tossed it in the oven and boom, plating like she's got followers. So go to blueapron.com, Steve. Make 2026 the year you win dinner. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders, plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, it's Jason DeRusha with a message from Minnesota's pig farmers. Discover the meat of the North, pork. Pork is as Minnesotan as the lakes, trees, and people who call this state home. Did you know there are more than 30,000 pig farming families? They live and work in the North Star State, raising one of the safest, most delicious meats the whole world can enjoy. Pork is something we enjoy in the DeRusha family at least a few times a week. Maybe it's pork loin roast, shoulder, pork chops, ribs, bacon. Oh, I'm getting hungry just talking about it. It's so affordable, too. If you're looking for recipes, MNPork.com's got them. Great recipes like dilled pork cutlets, Parmesan-crusted pork chops, and you can feel good about eating pork from Minnesota farmers. They've been reducing their carbon footprint with better genetics, new technologies, and more. Pick up pork tonight for dinner at your local meat market or grocery store. Let's have Minnesota pork for dinner. Oh, yeah.
One of the best food scenes in the country, right here in Minnesota. And nobody knows it like magazine food critic and James Beard Award finalist Jason DeRussia. Now bringing you the most interesting people and hottest trends. Let's listen in as DeRussia eats.
Do you still have that in your life? I mean, as a broadcaster, you in the in the news space now, obviously the game show has been added into the mix. Like you are doing so many different things. And I just wonder, like, do you have that person who's like, yep, Nate, like, you got to do this or you got to step this up?
Yeah, no, I do. That's a great question, by the way. You know, I have many mentors, some in the news space, some in the sports space, and then also in the entertainment space. And every time I meet someone that I either admire, look up to, or just respect the work they put in, I put them on the list. Even at the tender age of 44, I'm not afraid to ask for help and guidance. At this age, if I'm making new friends and they are people that have done big things in this space, then why not, you know, set my ego aside and say, hey, listen, man, I really admire your work, or, you know, ma'am, I really admire what you have done in this business. Would you mind if I reach out to you every once in a while just to ask you questions? If you ever see something that I can improve on, please let me know. I'm always going to be coachable. Like the moment I feel like you sit back and think, oh, I'm damn good and I have arrived, that's the moment you get a knock on the door and they say you're moving on. So I will always remain humble and ready to learn.
How do you know, when I was doing mornings, everybody asked when I sleep. And I only had like two jobs. I feel like you have eight jobs, and you're trying to be a good dad and a good husband and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
How do you do it is sort of a trite question, but I guess, how do you prioritize things so you make sure like you're taking care of all of the stuff?
It was a struggle to do that initially when I moved to New York, when I was doing Good Morning Football, because at that time it was a 3-hour live show, waking up at 4 a.m. And I so desperately wanted people to see me as more than an athlete. So I was saying yes to everything. I was working for digital platforms, working for Sports Illustrated. I started working for Extra as a correspondent on Tuesdays after the morning show. And then I joined the NFL Today, and I just kept saying yes. And it was exhausting. I lost all of my facial hair, started to form alopecia due to stress. I had to go to therapy. I had to go to a dermatologist. And yeah, I remember the dermatologist asking me about changes in my life. And I was like, oh, well, I just moved from the West Coast to the East Coast. I retired from playing football, and now I'm working this new job, and I want to be good on TV. And she's like, okay, all right, well, I just think your body is responding to stress. And I'm like, no, that can't be. I don't think I'm stressed doing this job. My old job, I used to have 250-pound guys that would chase me around and try to crack me and break me in half. Right. And I'm like laughing as I'm saying this, and she said, yeah, but that didn't stress you out. I'm like, well, why would you say that? She's like, well, when you were describing football, you were smiling. When you were describing your jobs on TV, you weren't. I saw worry and concern all over your face. You are stressed because you want to be good at your job. There was something about you being an athlete that you knew you were good at your job. And she was spot on. I might as well have kicked my feet up, laid on the couch, and opened up my soul to this woman. And
the dermatologist.
The dermatologist. She was just supposed to prescribe me some steroids so I can put on my face. And she ended up like giving me a... And she was right. I had to figure out a way to, one, not worry myself so much, but then also learn how to decompress, disconnect, and tap into my energy sources by myself, which is my family, my faith, and my friends. And I did, and things changed from there. But to answer your question, very long-winded way, I still wake up at 4 a.m. I just prioritize better. I average in around 6 hours of sleep, sometimes less. I feel like I've forced my body to adapt to that, even though I should be getting 7 or 8. But you know, I'm blessed, man, blessed and highly favored to be working these jobs. You know, most guys, as you know, you've been in this space for a long time. You've been in and around stories where people have been successful chasing a secondary or even third career path. But when it comes to athletes, it's rare that people can fall in love with something after being a rock star on the football field or basketball court or the baseball diamond.
Yeah, it is rare. It is rare. And when you're, you know, I think you, especially going into a news space, where I know as a former news person, there's no one more skeptical of like an athlete who comes in the news space than journalists. But you have just, you have a way of connecting with people and telling stories that I just think is very, very unique. It's very enjoyable to watch. Do you have one trait where you think, all right, this is what makes me different or makes me good in this space or makes people connect with me?
I'm an 80s baby, raised in the 90s, influenced by the 2000s. You know, I was part of the appointment television. I was a latchkey kid. You know, I would sit down in front of the TV, crisscross applesauce, watching everything from news to the top 20 music videos to the pop culture channels that covered, you know, the MTV's latest and greatest, what's happening with celebrities. I have used all of my experiences to create this version of who I am on TV. This isn't false enthusiasm. So when I sit down with Barack Obama or The Rock or, you know, Bill Russell, I don't have to dive too much in on catching myself up on my next guest. I am already curious and have answered these questions in my own mind. Now I have to make it palatable to the viewer. But as far as a specific trait, I would say I listen. You know how it is when you have a microphone. We all have questions. And sometimes the clock is ticking. You working in the news space, you get a producer in your ear. All right, guys, we got 30 seconds to wrap up. And you're like, okay, I got 15 questions. So do you want to sound smart and get all of your questions out because you put the work in and studied so hard, or are you listening? Like, I can just tell talking to you, you have questions that you want to ask me, but you have already pivoted a couple of times. And I find joy in those moments because those are oftentimes where the gems are found. And I think people at home are also paying attention to who's listening to the conversation and who's just there on a surface level, just trying to get through the segment. And I've always been very attentive and locked in on the moment. So I think listening might be my best trait. And then also, I played with Randy Moss. And I played with Calvin Johnson. Like, I don't need to be the person that has the spotlight on them. I know what it's like to be Robin. I know what it's like to wear the skinny tights and the dun-dun-dun draws and walk up to the Batman and say, hey, Batman, you know, who are we going to save today? And Randy Moss would be like, I'm going to score 4 touchdowns and we're going to win the game. And Calvin would say, I'm the superhero. Team, get on my back. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'll catch 5 footballs and hopefully we'll win. I took all of that with me into TV. Yeah, of course, you give me the stage, I'll do my dance. But for the most part, I just want to support. I want to be the best supporting actor I can be. And then when it's my time to shine, do that. That's what football taught me.
Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I have a million questions, but it's fascinating to hear your journey and hear how you kind of attack every day. And I also could hear when you're talking about your new vodka, it's called Lion Blood Orange from Valentine. Yep. That's also something different. You know, when you create television and you create moments, there's something sort of fleeting about that stuff. It sort of flies out there. I mean, the internet makes it forever, unfortunately.
Yeah, but you're right.
The mistakes are forever.
You're right, though.
But this is, I'm holding this. This is a piece of Nate Burleson that I'm holding in my hand right now.
Yeah, that's special, man. And it makes me feel good. You know, just trying to do things that are tangible, things that are real, things that you have to put work into. Listen, the season is about to start for me. And I'm going on vacation and celebrate my birthday in about a week and a half. But there was an opportunity to go to Minnesota, and I wanted to. Not because I have to. I can say, you know what, it's fine. The brand is there. We'll see if people enjoy it. But any little bit I can do to help create awareness and maybe even take some pictures, sign some autographs, and take a sip with some people, like, it's all worth it, man. So I'm enjoying this ride right now.
It's so great. It was terrific talking to you. I know a ton of people are going to come see you at Haskell's in White Bear Lake at 3:30 in the afternoon on Saturday, and then noon at Surdix right in
Minneapolis. I appreciate you taking the time, man. If there's anything else you want to talk about, you have my contact. Let's lock in. I mean, I'm a big foodie. I used to own an Italian restaurant. I'm looking to get back into that space. So let's talk food and wine.
All right.
Or food and liquors in the future. All right.
I love it. Nate, this was such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right, Jay, have a good one.
Thanks so much for listening to the DeRussia Eats podcast on WCCO Radio, 830 AM. We do conversations with chefs, with farmers, with small business people every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. The podcast is available every week. If you enjoyed what you heard, I would love for you to leave us a review. Give us however many stars you can. I don't know, 10, 20 stars would be nice, 5 stars. And leave your feedback as well. It really helps us grow and helps support covering the food community here at WCCO Radio and in the DeRussia Eats podcast. If you'd like to email me with an idea or a question about the restaurant scene, you can email Jason at Odyssey, AUDACY.com. Jason at Odyssey.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time on the DeRussia Eats podcast.
Thanks for listening to DeRussia Eats. Dan Cook is our producer. Jason DeRussia is your host. Please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a review. DeRussia Eats is a production of Odyssey.